Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, and my co-host, Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Heather O'Connor. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author, get a glimpse into their lives, find out if we can what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read from their work. Today, we're very pleased to welcome Heather O'Connor. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Heather M. O'Connor is an award-winning freelance writer, editor, and author. Her latest book, Betting Game, a fast-paced soccer novel for young adults, hits the shelves on October the 20th. Heather also writes short stories, fantasy, historical fiction, and children's nonfiction. Heather is an enthusiastic speaker. She enjoys visiting schools, libraries, book clubs, and writing groups. Heather presents workshops to adults and young people on a broad range of writing-related topics all over Ontario, including Northumberland. She is the busy mother of five and grandmother of two, and has been playing soccer since 2006. Like her main character in Betting Game, she is a defender. She's also very brave. As a former teacher, I know how popular sports-themed books are. But I'm curious about why you chose to write a book about soccer. What got you started on this project?
Well, they say write what you know, and I know soccer. For the past 25 years, there's been an O'Connor at our local soccer club, either playing, coaching, or refereeing, sometimes managing a sports, one of the rep sports teams. So as a result, it's a subject near and dear to my heart.
Even though you play women's soccer, there are no significant female characters in this book. Why is that?
Well, it's funny. Soccer is a really growing sport in Canada, but it started more with kids and men and has grown to include women, which is why I ended up picking it up about 9 years ago. And it's growing, but it's taking time to gain a little bit of a foothold. Women are starting to play. We have a new generation coming up. Women soccer players, the Women's World Cup.
Players, yes, that was a step forward, wasn't it? Because it was such a big success.
It was, with players like Christine Sinclair, who's a real veteran of the team, and Kadisha Buchanan, who's one of our up-and-comers. It's starting to add some women to the sport. But right now, there aren't a lot of coaches. There aren't any soccer academies for women. In fact, the elite soccer academies for boys are even fairly rare. So as that grows, I'm sure they'll include women as well.
Yes, well, my granddaughters, as I was telling you earlier, play soccer. They're only small, the ones who play. So maybe you can write a sequel about women's soccer for the next generation.
I hope so.
What else does this book explore aside from soccer?
Well, there's a certain amount of betting that goes on in the game. The main character, Jack, gets involved with betting.
Is he a boy or a man?
He's a boy. These are 17-year-old players. Yeah. It's an elite soccer academy, and it's a high-level team. These boys are about a step away from the pros or from playing university soccer. Three main characters are Jack, who's the defender, and Alex, his brother, who's the goalkeeper. They're best friends. They always have been very close, and all of a sudden there's a new player on the team. He splits up the brotherly friendship a little bit and opens Jack up, makes him a bit vulnerable to a bookie who would really like to get his hooks into Jack. As a result, he gets involved in online gambling, and it causes a real problem for him. He quickly gets into debt, as most people do. It's an illegal gambling ring that's run out of a European country. So he has to wrestle with the whole idea of how does he get himself out of the situation. And main themes of the story are teamwork and trust. And there's not a lot of trust between Jack and the new player. He's dividing up the players on the team, and in fact, he's not very good for the team right now. The same problem is happening with him personally. Instead of calling on his own personal team, his brother, his teammates, to help him get out of trouble, he's trying to go it alone. And until everybody plays well on the field and off the field, and until there's really a sense of team again, Jack's not going to resolve any of the problems he's facing.
It sounds like he's got lots of challenges there to overcome. Well, that will be exciting. So you must have done a great deal of research, unless you've got children playing at that sort of level, do you?
Well, I've had kids playing rep before, but I wouldn't bet a quarter on a card game, so I don't know anything about gambling at all.
Well, tell us a little about your experiences researching for this book.
Well, I called a gentleman who is considered to be the top expert in illegal gambling on sports in Canada, in North America, and he spent some time with me telling me what the juice is, which is the interest, and how you place a bet on a sports game, and exactly what the MO of this bookie would have been. And it was really interesting. I learned a lot about my character.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to lay out exactly where he was from, what he would look like, how he would behave, and he's not a petty criminal. He's a really slick salesman. It was surprising how little I knew about gambling before and how much I've learned about it in the meantime. The gambling is integral to the book, and so is research, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you're writing.
Yeah.
It's what I'm doing on my next book, which is historical fiction. I'm looking into tea service at a high society tea and what plastic explosives are like. Well, I don't know anything about that. But if I do enough research,
yes,
then I can. I can find
you
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it ended up being the theme for the new blog that I'm launching. Writers are always looking for authorities. We've had Facebook discussions about the best way to slit a throat or whether you could ride a horse if you had a broken leg and if that included your femur. It's really fascinating the discussions writers will get into to make sure that the work in their book is dead accurate.
Uh-huh. So, thank you very much. Would you like to read now before our break?
Sure, I'd love to.
Good.
I'll read the start of the book, the first chapter. 10 minutes left in the match, and here he comes again, number 10. He fakes at our midfield, doing stepovers like a Neymar wannabe, but that won't work on me. I've been shutting him down all night, and it's making him crazy. It's making me crazy, too, because we always beat Port Peterson. We pay for our wins and blood and bruises, but we always win. Tonight, I glance at the two guys icing injuries on the bench. We've got the blood and bruises, but we're still chasing our first goal. Come on! I ambush number 10 outside the 18-yard box and jockey. He touches the ball through, but I get a foot on it. Then he somersaults over my foot. He could get a gold medal for a dive like that, or a yellow card. He rolls around like his leg is broken. Correction, a gold medal and an Academy Award. The ref whistles the play. Called that one, I mutter. Drama queen. I set up the ball for a free kick, but the ref whistles again and pulls out a yellow. For me! I roll my eyes. Seriously, ref? Number 10 jumps up and smirks at me. I clap my hands. Nice performance, jerk face. Miraculous recovery. Forget it, Jack, Alex yells from the net. Grab a man. No problem, bro. I follow number 10. The free kick is perfect. So's the elbow number 10 lands when we go up to head the ball. I end up flat on my back counting stars. Son of a whistle? Must be the elbow. Good call, ref. Wait. Cheering? They scored on that header? I sit up and everything spins. Hands pull me to my feet and steady me till the black fades. Alex's face swims into view. You all right, bro? Yeah. Then I see number 10 and lunge. But I'm gonna kill that guy. I must have hit my head harder than I thought. I can't reach him. Then I figure it out. Alex won't let go of my shirt. Don't be stupid, Jack. Just get it back. But the ball barely clears the center circle when the game ends. We've lost to Port Frickin' Peterson. Alex and I leave the training center as the dome goes dark and the last car pulls away. The park's deserted this time of night. The lampposts that line the path show us the way home. We've never lost to Port Peterson before. Alex kicks a stone ahead of him. His voice is quiet. We were unbeatable the first half of the season. Top of the table. Now 4 games into the spring season, we're 1-1-2. Some captain I am. He always takes the blame, even at home. Oh, we win as a team, but if we lose, it's all his fault. Part of being a keeper, I guess. Part of being the oldest, even if it's only by 10 months. Mom calls him Mr. Responsible. Don't beat yourself up, bro. I give Alex's stone a kick. It clangs off the lamppost. He takes everything so seriously. I wish he'd joke around like I do, or get mad. That burns itself out. Not Alex. He'd rather chew on it. So I look for a way to fill the silence. When's our new striker arrive? Late next week. He might make it to a practice. Definitely before our next game. Coach says he's got a great shot. See? He can be our secret weapon. When we meet Port Peterson again in June, we'll crush him. Deal. We seal it with a fist bump. Good thing we're almost home. My eye is throbbing. I'm going to pay that guy back for the elbow, too, with interest. Alex looks over. How is it? I touch the swelling with my fingertips and wince. As big as a tennis ball. Probably twice as pretty. That makes him smile. Better ice it again when we get in the door, so you don't scare people. Aye, Captain, but I'd rather get an eye patch. Go pirate. You know, in case of crew mutinies. Or the captain abandoned ship. I elbow him in the ribs. Captain Jack has a nice ring to it, don't you think? He laughs and elbows me back. In your dreams. I'm not abandoning anyone. Arr, matey. Ice it is, then.
Thank you, Heather. Now we'll take a short break.